Welcome to AgTech 360, where we take a 360-degree view into emerging agriculture technologies that matter, with our host, Adrian Percy.
So this is Adrian Percy with AgTech 360, and I'm delighted to be joined by another transatlantic warrior, someone with a mid-Atlantic accent like myself, possibly. Phil Taylor. Phil is the Director of Innovation and Outreach for the Crop Science Division of Bayer. So welcome, Phil.
Adrian, great to be back in North Carolina and great to be back in the Plant Sciences building here at NC State.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Thanks for visiting. And I couldn't resist but take the opportunity of you being here to talk about open innovation, which is something I have to say I'm very passionate about and a big believer of. But let's talk about you first before we get into what open innovation is, or at least your definition. So tell me a little bit about your background. As I've alluded to, I know you're from the old country as well, but technical background, but worked in both industry and academia, right?
Yeah, so UK born and raised, did all my education over there. Got my PhD a little over 20 years ago from the John Innes Center in plant cell biology. After a couple years of postdoc in the UK, my wife, who's American, we made the decision I would move over here. And after a couple more years as a postdoc at UNC Chapel Hill down the road, moved to St. Louis and joined Monsanto back in 2006. And spent the first half of my career there as a molecular cell biologist at the bench and leading projects driving the R&D pipeline. But what I really loved about that work at the time was so much of it was driven by partnerships. We had partnerships with universities, we had partnerships with small companies, and it was that interface of our work with theirs and how we were using that as a way to sort of drive innovation that really excited me and has been the driving force of my career. So about 10 years ago, I had the chance to sort of jump out of those technical roles into collaboration management roles, as we called them at the time, leading partnerships both with academic institutions and large companies. And through wearing various different hats as companies came and went, have continued and stayed in that space. But now, as you say, I lead the open innovation and outreach part for our crop science R&D organization, really focused on understanding where we should be forming strategic partnerships to set the stage for the future of agriculture.
Well, great. And I was going to make a joke about not holding the whole Chapel Hill thing against you. But in fact, we here at State are doing collaborative activities with UNC Chapel Hill, with Duke, very much in the spirit of, I think, what you're going to be talking about. So let's talk about open innovation. I'm sure there's a whole plethora of different definitions and aspects and perspectives on it, but what does it mean from your perspective and that of Bayer, and why is it important for a large innovation leader like Bayer to even engage with other partners?
There's a couple things I think about. One, we're very fortunate at Bayer. We have, I believe, the largest R&D organization in the industry. But even though we do have that, it is impossible to stay on top of all the opportunities, all the trends, all the new developments, all the types of research that could be going on that really are setting the stage for what's going to come, 5, 10, 15 years from now. And so open innovation to me is really about the fact that we acknowledge and state we know we can't do everything we need to do as an organization by ourselves. And so therefore we are dependent on partners, all shapes and sizes, all types of models to really help drive our R&D pipeline. And where that becomes really exciting, as I say, is really helping us think about, yes, what do we need to get done today? All the way through, and this is more where I spend my time, thinking about, what's over the horizon and what's coming next and what's the next great breakthrough cropping system or technology or opportunity where we really need to be in position to take advantage of it. For me, the key thing with open innovation is just the acknowledgement of the need that agriculture is so complicated and there's so much going on, such a global enterprise, that together we're much stronger than we would be by ourselves.
So I guess, thinking about you looking so far upstream, at least in your job, as you say, 10, 15 years out there, I guess you're not even restricting yourself just to looking at the agricultural science world in that sense. You might be looking at other adjacent areas, right?
Yeah, I jokingly call it ag-jacent. Right, because I'm fairly convinced there are lots of technologies and lots of really cool innovation that are out there where the person inventing it or conceiving it has never thought about agriculture, has never thought about it as a place to bring their business or bring their partnerships. So, yes, always trying to think about how to translate things in. And it especially becomes true as agriculture gets more digital, gets more integrated. You know, all those different types of tools and technologies are going to be game-changing, really. It's not, this sounds simplistic to say, but it's not just a biology and a chemistry conversation anymore. You know, there's engineering, there's data science, there's all kinds of different aspects that cut across.
Well, you're certainly preaching to the converted here, because, you know, the Plant Sciences Initiative that, you know, I'm working with, you know, we are heavily reliant on the input that we get from data science, from engineering. And as you say, many of those faculty members or researchers do not have an agricultural background, perhaps haven't thought about applications in the past in agriculture, but are now seeing a tremendous opportunity to apply their skill sets, their technologies, their inventions into an area that is really, really thirsty for new innovation and advancement. So can you talk a little bit about some of the projects you're involved in? I mean, those that are obviously public. What kind of, you know, different flavors are there of open innovation?
So if to talk about it at the level of our team, and then a little bit what I spend my time doing. So our team really is out there thinking about all manner of types of partnerships and agreements, whether that's licensing IP to enable our pipeline or funding collaborative R&D, all the way through to even venture and investments and creating startups, right? So we're, from a model perspective, kind of fairly agnostic to how the work gets done. What I spend most of my time doing is really thinking about early touchpoint interactions and how do we build new partnerships, maybe it's kind of to our conversation about bringing new people into the space, right? How do we build new partnerships with folks who we haven't worked with before? How do we think about different ways to design those partnerships? If you look back in the sort of history of open innovation in agriculture, you know, you do a quick Google, I suppose, you'd find lots of large deals, you know, companies putting long-term kind of big partnerships into place. And maybe that didn't work out as well as we all might have hoped it would. And so what I like to think about is how do we build little interactions to ask essentially fundamental questions about is there a there, right? Is there something we should be working on? And so within my team, we run a couple of sort of signature programs. One is called Grants for Ag, and the other is called Testing for Ag, where with Grants for Ag, we set out every year to fund, give or take, 20 projects across the globe. We have one at NC State in a pre-competitive manner. So we give a little bit of funding to an academic who maybe has an idea on the back of a napkin that they need to test, or has reached a certain point with a project and needs a little bit of oomph to get it over a hill or buy a new piece of equipment to help them scale it or put it in a broader context or a translation act, and kind of work with them usually for about a year with a little bit of funding, and they get paired up with one of our scientists as a sort of a mentor and sort of ask the question, is there something we can put a larger partnership and a larger relationship around? So it's sort of a proof of concept fund, if you will. And we've had a lot of fun doing that because it's enabled us to get into all kinds of novel geographies, all kinds of novel technical spaces, universities we haven't strongly partnered with in the past, but do it in a very open and transparent way. And any data that's generated from that, just to sort of be clear about it, you know, IP stays with the partner, any rights they have, that's all theirs. They want to publish it, they want to do what they want, that's great. So we love that because it's built us almost an ecosystem of micro partners in a way of folks that we've done something with, and some have turned into larger collaborations and some haven't, and that's usually the right decision, right? And then with Testing for Ag about 18 months ago, we set that concept up with the idea, actually, instead of funding, we sort of asked the question, what else can we do to enable mostly academics, but there's some startups in there, but what can we do to enable our partners? And what we came up with was the fact that we could open up our high-throughput chemistry screening, which all takes place in Europe, for the major indications against weeds and insects and pests. And if an academic researcher has got chemistries that they've been working on in their lab or compounds they've been testing, we would actually run them through those pipelines and share the data back with them in that same fully transparent sort of open innovation modality, where if there was something exciting there, if we got a hit and some exciting data, then that would hopefully and has triggered conversations about follow-up research or what we could do together. But if there was data that came back from that exercise that was interesting to the partner that may not have been interesting to us for whatever reason, that was theirs. So if that had found its way into a student's thesis or the next publication or the next grant application, super, right? We were thrilled about that because there's been a lot of data generated through partnerships in all manner of spaces that's ended up in a black hole because no one quite knows what to do with it. But if you hand it back to the originator and the expert owner, then they may be able to do something with it, even if, you know, it's not going to be a fit for us and the pipeline kind of in a longer term sense. So again, we've loved doing that because it's built these sort of networks of partners and networks of researchers and allowed us to sort of test some things out that we might not have otherwise been able to do.
Excellent. I was at a recent meeting, conference, where some of your colleagues from the biologicals area, business area, and it was fascinating to me that the head of that group was talking about how Bayer had taken a strategic decision to no longer do basic discovery in that area, but was going to partner with other research-based companies, mostly fairly small kind of startup, medium-sized companies who were doing R&D themselves to access potentially some of their technologies and then take those technologies forward to market. Very interesting model. And I'm just curious, you know, from your perspective, is that a model that you see being replicated more across a business like Bayer, or is that very specific to that particular area?
That's a great question. As I look at it, I think there are areas like the biologic space where that model works really well. And what it allows us to do is really lean into our strengths, you know, on the development side of the equation, and through the partnerships that we create, enable and support those, as you say, some of those startups and smaller companies to really own their niche and own their sort of focus in the discovery sort of side of things and create that connection. I think as I think about agriculture and I think about the types of products and the types of R&D that's going on, and this is not really a very concrete answer to your question, but I think there are spaces where it works well and there are spaces where it might be more challenging. I think when I think about traits and the work that we do there to create new, whether it's insect control or weed control traits, that's a little harder to imagine going as far into the open innovation space, as far down the pipeline as the biologics have done, just because of the nature of how those pipelines work. But I think it's one where, you know, the biologics team, you know, as you say, it's very exciting to see, have sort of, again, made that acknowledgement. There's things we're good at, there's things you're good at. Let's not sort of muddy the water, as it were, and play to our strengths and create a more robust pipeline that way.
And do you see this as outside of Bayer now? And I know you can't talk a bit in detail about competitors and shouldn't do, but in general, in our industry, do you see this move towards open innovation? And do you see this already occurring perhaps in adjacent, I think you said, industries, maybe pharmaceuticals? What can we learn from others that perhaps we can apply in agriculture?
So I think in terms of this startup to large corporate sort of transition, pharma is quite a way ahead of ag. I think that's, you know, when you look at the major pharmaceutical companies, a lot of them rely very heavily on startups and even academics for that early research and that early discovery. So I think from that perspective, they're further ahead. It's obviously working there in that space, and I see no reason it wouldn't work for us. When I look within agriculture, I do see a move towards more open innovation across the industry. All our peer companies, let's say, have some kind of open innovation platform or program just like we do that, you know, you can jump out there on the web and find with a quick Google. We're all doing it slightly differently, so it's fun to watch and it's fun to interact with those guys when we get the chance. But I will say there's also a great amount of opportunity that's being created by organizations like FAR, which is actually, for me, one of the things that's exciting about FAR, the Foundation for Food and Ag Research, is they're actually driving pre-competitive, you know, public-private partnerships that, from where I sit, are bringing the companies together in a way that hasn't really happened before. It was tough kind of at the beginning, but now we've been able to sort of get to a point where we've identified the types of projects or the types of data set or the types of process that could be of value, you know, across the industry and across the companies. And let's welcome those together and save us all reinventing the same wheel, you know, in different parts of the country or different parts of the globe. So I see not only a sort of move towards open innovation broadly, but also a coming together and an acknowledgement of the value of that sort of pre-competitive early research as well.
So I know that you're on the road a lot, and I know you're always investigating opportunities for new partnerships. If there are folks out there who would like to reach out to you or to Bayer, what's the best way to do it? And maybe what are the types of incomings that you're hoping for?
So really, it's bit of a non-answer, I suppose, because I think when you're thinking both about the here and now and the future, there's nothing's off the table, right? And it's always great to hear from innovators, and we take the approach of, when we design partnerships or think about how to put those partnerships together, how do we meet the innovation where it is, not necessarily where we are, right? So creating those win-wins is really important for us. So always open to all kinds of ideas and all kinds of opportunities. A couple of different tools, I suppose. Obviously, folks are very free to reach out to me, as you say. You know, I try to be active on LinkedIn and share with people where I am and what we're up to. We also have a LinkedIn community that's the Bayer Crop Science Innovation Ecosystem that people can search up and join and follow along if we're having events or opportunities. Or we use that as the place to sort of post calls or partnership campaigns or you know, those types of things. So easy ways to reach out and connect digitally. And obviously, if there's a way, you know, through this context to put my contact details out there, then you're very welcome to do so.
Well, great. Phil, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for reaching out in the way that you do. I think it's really exciting. I think this whole topic of open innovation is going to become more and more prevalent as we move forward. And it's great to be in it with folks like yourself on the ground floor, as it were.
Likewise. And thank you for the partnership with NC State and the PSI and having me here. And great to catch up. Thank you.
AgTech 360 is a product of North Carolina State University, the Center of Excellence for Regulatory Science in Agriculture, or CERSA, the North Carolina Plant Sciences Initiative, and the Southern IPM Center. With AgTech 360, we take a 360-degree view into emerging agriculture technologies that matter. Thanks for listening.